From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Tuesday, December 3rd, and here are today's headlines. The Vermont Department of Taxes is estimating a nearly 6% increase in property taxes next year. That's according to the department's annual projection released on Monday. In a written statement, Governor Phil Scott cautioned against calling this year's projected tax rates a victory and wrote that Vermonters have seen a substantial uptick in property taxes the past 3 years. Scott called on lawmakers to work with his administration to permanently reduce the tax burden on Vermonters. Last year, the department predicted a more than 18% increase in property taxes. The average increase ended up being closer to 14% after school budget revisions and lawmakers' use of one-time funds. Don Turner, a former leader of Vermont House Republicans and a local fixture in Milton, died on Friday. Turner served in the State House of Representatives from 2006 to 2019 and spent 9 years as the House Minority Leader. He also ran an unsuccessful campaign for Lieutenant Governor in 2018. In addition to state politics, Turner was deeply involved in his local community. He became a firefighter when he was 16 and spent 14 years as the town fire chief, according to his obituary. He became Milton's town manager in 2017, a post he held until August. According to his obituary, Turner died surrounded by family after a brief battle with brain cancer. He was 60 years old. Senator Peter Welch says President Biden's decision to pardon his son Hunter of gun and tax convictions undermines public confidence in the country's judicial system. The president's announcement over the weekend came as a surprise because he had said on previous occasions that he would not take the step. But Biden wrote that he changed his mind because he felt his son had been, quote, selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Welch says the president made the wrong decision.
It's really essential to the well-being of all of us in our democracy that we have confidence in our law enforcement and that we have confidence in our judicial system. And Hunter Biden wouldn't be getting his pardon except that he's the son of the president.
Welch says he's also concerned that the pardon will make it easier for President-elect Trump to pardon people convicted of attacking the Capitol building in January of 2021. Five-time World Cup champion Michaela Schifrin continues to recover from a crash during the giant slalom race in Killington. The AP reports the 29-year-old downhill skier suffered a deep puncture wound on the right side of her abdomen and severe muscle trauma, though she has no serious bone, ligament, or organ damage. Schifrin is a Burke Mountain Academy alum who was aiming for her 100th World Cup win when she slid into a gate and flipped over her skis. Schifrin suffered a right knee injury in 2015 and recovered from a left knee injury earlier this year. In both instances, Schifrin was back on the slopes in just 2 months. The Montreal Canadiens are the only National Hockey League team left in Quebec since the Nordiques moved to Colorado in 1995. Speaking Monday on Vermont Edition, retired Washington University professor John Wong, who specializes in the business of sports, says it's unlikely the province will see a return of the Nordiques, despite the passionate fan base there. He says teams these days are financed chiefly by corporations that pay for luxury skyboxes and other high-priced amenities, rather than by individual owners like the Vermont-born grocery store magnate Charles Adams, who financed and brought the Boston Bruins into the NHL in 1924.
Quebec City, as beautiful as it is, do not have enough corporations to buy those skyboxes. It's a sad thing, but actually it is how the business run today in not just hockey, but in professional sports.
The Bruins commemorated their 100th anniversary with the win over the Montreal Canadiens on Sunday. Coming up, why efforts by Vermont to strengthen its refugee resettlement program could run into opposition from the incoming Trump administration. That's after this.
The Frequency is sponsored by the Autosaver Group's year-end sales event going on now at all 15 dealerships in Vermont and Western New Hampshire. Savings on their entire lineup, from trucks, SUVs, and EVs to fuel-efficient cars and family-friendly models. Inventory from all stores at autosavergroup.com. And Gills Point S Tire and Auto Service, offering tire and brake service, oil changes, and state inspections. Online at gillspointstire.com.
Vermont has made efforts to bolster its refugee resettlement program in recent years. Officials that support the effort, including Republican Governor Phil Scott, say welcoming refugees enriches communities and boosts the state's workforce. More than 500 people resettled in the state in 2023, and state officials hope to resettle even more this year. But now with the incoming Trump administration, there's uncertainty about how Vermont's refugee resettlement efforts might play out. During Trump's last term, his administration put a pause on the number of refugees that states could admit. Tracy Dolan is executive director of the state's refugee office. Dolan joined Vermont Public's Mary Angus to share how the office is readjusting its approach and priorities ahead of the new administration. Dolan began by explaining what led to Vermont taking in its largest number ever of refugees this year.
Well, with the growing number of refugees needing a place to go worldwide, the president set a higher number of refugees to be coming into the U.S. It's called the presidential determination. And so President Biden set that number in the last federal fiscal year, which just ended a little over a month ago, at 125,000. And that meant that all states were encouraged to take in more refugees. And so the three refugee resettlement agencies here worked with my office and worked with communities to determine how many we think we would be able to assist. And so last year, that number was about 550. And now in this current new fiscal year, which just started October 1st, our number also went up again in the hopes that we would be able to assist folks fleeing from war and persecution.
And Tracy, when we spoke earlier this year, you said that the goal of the previous Trump administration was to significantly decrease the number of people in that refugee program, and they were successful in doing that. What was the state refugee office's experience in the last administration, and what are you expecting in the numbers of people that we can welcome into Vermont as refugees who are resettling here?
We expect that likely in January, when Trump takes office, that there will probably be a pause on refugee admissions into the U.S., and so that would mean here in Vermont as well. We would probably not have arrivals. We're hearing that that could last a few months. That's what happened in the last administration. We are also hearing that there will probably be reduced arrivals or no arrivals for a longer period from some particular countries. For example, some of the countries that were listed under what people heard of as the Muslim ban in the past. So what that means for Vermont is that we will likely have fewer arrivals. We had projected about 650 to 700 in this fiscal year. We expect that that number will be significantly less, but we're not sure how much less. We'll definitely have some refugee arrivals. We're not hearing that they would shut down the program entirely.
Yeah. And if that number does drop, like you're expecting, either based on precedent and previous administration, how will your office adjust?
So we've been talking to the refugee resettlement agencies, and they are planning to take in a little extra between now and mid-January. We've actually had lower numbers arriving in September and October than we had anticipated. There were some challenges overseas with some processing and some logistics. And so because those numbers were a little bit lower anyway, we had hoped to adjust by taking in a few more than we normally would per month. And now with what we know is likely going to happen in January, we're upping that number a little more as well. And then the way we're preparing for after that is just thinking about what supports people will need when they are here and planning our funding so that we can support that longer term. So thinking a little bit more carefully about spreading out the funding that we do have so that we will have the services people need, recognizing that that could change in the future.
These are people with families. These are people with kiddos. Have you been talking to folks in the refugee community, and how are they feeling right now?
I'm hearing a lot from refugee serving organizations, and I've spoken to some refugees directly as well. And everyone, and by everyone, I would go probably broader than the refugees and just say that the displaced populations in Vermont in general are certainly at a heightened level of anxiety. You know, they're hearing some pretty strong rhetoric, and the rhetoric is accompanied by, in some cases, language that might make them feel very unwelcome on a national level. And so I think everyone has concerns. Now, what we know is that some immigration statuses are more secure than others. So deportation occurs all the time, right? So deportation is an ongoing process that occurs to remove, you know, certain people from this country, usually related to crime, but sometimes related to overstaying visas. So that's not new. I think what worries people is the broad language and the high visibility around this kind of initiative and the desire for it to be somewhat of a flagship of an administration has people somewhat concerned. But we do know that historically and what we know about refugee status, it's a very stable status. It has a pathway to citizenship. But people are still worried because they're not sure what that really means in a new administration. We feel very confident that refugees really have no concerns around this aspect of it. And then, of course, there's reunification. Some people are waiting for their families to join them who are also in dangerous situations. And those reunification efforts that might be underway now will likely be slowed down or could be slowed down for a longer period. And, of course, that's got people very worried as well.
That was Vermont Public's Mary Engish speaking with Tracy Dolan, Executive Director of the state's Refugee Office. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Bob Kinzel, and Jen Jarecki. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.